The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
As we get ready to welcome in Bob Gerald, somebody did the math, Jason, just real quick to follow up on that last segment. Since the start of last season, including the playoffs, your free throw differential leaders, these are the teams that have attempted more free throws than their opponents. In fifth place, the Boston Celtics, plus 271. This is start of last year to now, including playoffs. Number four, Orlando, plus 311. Number three, Milwaukee, plus 344. Number two, the Knicks, plus 358. Please note that there's approximately an 87, I think, free throw difference between number two and number five. So number two, the Knicks, 358.
Okay.
At number one, the LA Lakers, plus 1,017.
Come on.
Plus 1,017, and almost 700 free throw difference.
From second.
From second.
So that's regular season last year, playoffs last year, regular season this year.
That is correct. Wow. 700, which please keep in mind that number two and number three combined in the league, if you added them together, would be like 702. That is absolutely, by the way, the Lakers last year were fifth in the NBA in points in the paint. The Lakers this year, second in the NBA in points in the paint. Let's be fair here. They're going to get to the line more than, say, Golden State, who is outside quite a bit.
Sure.
That is as if we're in a court of law and we're accusing the NBA of rigging.
Yeah.
That's our star witness right there.
Right.
Joining us right now, our star interview. An expert, if you will, from hoopobsession.com. I'm going to do this too, by the way, partially because I feel so guilty about mangling it last week. Also because I read somewhere where, like, of the most commonly said words, obsession is one of the most misspelled. So hoopobsession, OBSESSION.com. Go there. Seriously, it's an awesome place. You're going to learn things. Bob Gerald. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. How about you guys?
Great.
We're just going over how the NBA has rigged things for the Lakers, which is something, to be honest, we've never talked about before in Sacramento.
Man, that's an amazing stat that you just read off, but why am I not surprised?
That's the thing. Nobody's surprised. Mm-hmm. And when you say an awesome stat, I know what you mean, which is really, that's a disgusting stat.
Right.
But it's like, you read it and you're like, no. But it's almost like, I mean, it's not as bad. Listen, we're not talking about life or death here. But it's like, oh, hey, the amount of bloody murder weapons found at Jason Ross's house is 24. Oh, wow, that's strange. And no convictions. Like, what are we doing here?
And they've had the audacity to complain a few times after games.
Yes.
Yeah.
LeBron's like, I don't get the calls. Are you sure, guy?
Yeah.
Anyway. Bob, something interesting we were reading earlier when it comes to this tournament so far. I mean, there's certainly some storylines we're going to talk about and come up with. But when it comes to at least the seeding, so far, pretty good. Round two of the NCAA tournament, 15-1 were the favorites. 15-1 straight up, 11-5 against the spread. Every 1-2 seed has advanced. It certainly hasn't been chalk, but so far, a lot of brackets still alive.
Yeah, and it's crazy because with recency bias, one of my favorite terms, a lot of people just thought, well, last year, everything, you know, this right. happened, and so this year we better make sure, and so that screwed up a lot of brackets, including mine, because you know what I mean, you felt like you had to have a couple upsets in there, and then you're kicking yourself because you're like, oh man, why did I do that? These guys aren't good enough to play with some of these teams, man. The first three games I watched yesterday were blowout city, and then I finally got a good one there in the Houston nightcapper, so, and that was a great game. So interesting stuff. I had a fun weekend. Hope you guys did too.
Yeah.
Enjoying everything. And, you know, one thing we talked about last week, and it was a big topic yesterday, was Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And, you know, what he's going to be like. And Dave, you had asked about, you know, why some of the players of the year in college basketball don't translate in the NBA. And I didn't give you a great answer last week, but I thought about it over the weekend. And I think what I came to was, because a lot of those guys like Luka Garza and Tyler Hansbrough, they weren't freaks. And the NBA is a league of freaks and extremes. And I think that's where Zach Edey's different from those other guys. You know, you just can't teach his size. Someone on Twitter yesterday said, if Zach Edey was 6'10 with his skill set, he'd be just another guy. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But he's not. Yeah. He's 7'4", 300 and something, you know. And so he's fantastic. And I was kind of blown away by Jay Wright and some of the comments he made about Zach Edey. I don't know how long you guys hung with the postgame show yesterday after Houston and everything, and the day was done, and they're kind of recapping everything. And, I mean, Jay Wright's throwing around, he's every bit as good as Kareem.
What?
Yeah. He said some things that I was like, wow. You know, I like Zach Edey. I'm not sure I'm ready to throw him in there with Kareem or anything. But, you know, and he named a bunch of other players too, Ralph Sampson and some of the other great bigs that have come through. But Zach Edey, I think, again, showed yesterday just what a problem he is, especially at this level and in this tournament.
Talk with Bob Gerald here. Bobby Brackets, as we've Bobby now Brackets. You've been coined.
Yeah.
Since you watch college basketball all year, this won't be new for you. But as someone who kind of jumps in here, at, like a lot of people, Bob, at the end, and one thing that does jump out to me in this tournament is literally different styles of play and of approach. And you can see a team that's up and down, that's frenetic, to zone, to half court, to slow it, to pay. I mean, it's all over the place. Where I'm getting to, though, is ultimately the game yesterday that just was, I felt like on level 10 of out of control, was Grand Canyon in Alabama. There was about a 10-minute stretch where I felt like I was as stressed as I've ever been watching a basketball game, because it was crazy. And I don't know how much you got into the Lopes and the Alabama game, but that was absolutely, I thought, at some point out of control. It was football, but it was enjoyable to watch. What did you make of that particular game?
Yeah, I think that's how Grand Canyon plays.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, they struck me the game before that as well as just kind of wild and out of control against St. Mary's. But yet somehow it works because they have such great athleticism. So it was interesting. I think Nate Oates is an interesting guy to me. The coach there is a former high school math teacher. And so he, you know, he really believes in, he's got charts and different things, and really is one of the harsh believers in layups and 3-point shots only. That's his thing. He really wants to eliminate the mid range. And, you know, one of the things about analytics that I think people get wrong often is they think that that's what it is, that they take it to the extreme. Like, it's only supposed to be 3-point shots and it's only supposed to be layups. Well, no, that's the preferred thing, but it doesn't mean that you can't take a mid-range shot. And I think we all see that the mid-range is still something that can be a valuable part of a winning basketball recipe. So Nate Oates is a fun guy to watch, and Alabama is probably a little bit of a surprise to some people, I think.
Bob Gerald joining us from HoopObsession.com, talking brackets. I want to go back to Zach Edey, because I do think it's really a fascinating storyline. I'm rooting for him. I can't wait to see him in the NBA and see how those that skill set, because I finally spent, you know, I watched every minute of both games he's played in so far, and he's playing against the top teams, some of the top teams in the NCAA. He's also a senior, like you said, 7'4", 300, but rumor is he's grown. So like you said, in the world of freaks, Victor Wembanyama's and Chet Holmgren's and hell, I still think Kat and Kevin Durant are almost freaks with how tall and amazing they are from the outside.
Absolutely.
I'd put them in that category. I have such an admiration for scouts who, by the way, get it right more than they get it wrong. I watch Zach Edey, Bob, and I go, oh my God, this guy, he's maybe not the next Wembanyama or a Kareem, but God, this guy's going to come. He's going to be a double-double machine. Like, what's my comparison to Zach Edey? Oh, maybe he's a better scoring Walker Kessler, something like that. But then you and I both, I mean, we don't know, but if I had to bet, I'm thinking, oh, odds are he's not an end-of-the-bench guy, but maybe a nice, thick role player for a team. I just don't understand how the hell they differentiate the scouts before they give the GMs their advice saying, oh, draft this guy 10th, 20th, 30th, or in the second round.
Yeah, I think you got to kind of go back and look at you know, where he might fit in the landscape of centers. And that's why it's so important in scouting to have an understanding of the landscape. To me, that's really the most important thing. And it's not just the guys in the NBA. There are centers in the G League. There are centers in Europe. When the game changed and the old school power forward kind of got phased out, you know, the old Karl Malone, just a big guy who couldn't really shoot threes but had the power muscle rebounding game, that used to be your prototypical four. Well, now it's changed, and if you're a four guy, you better be able to shoot a three-point shot or you're not going to make it. So what that did is it took all the power forwards who fit the old school beast power forward mode and kind of changed them to fives. And so now this whole landscape of fives is so huge and so big, and there's only 30 teams in the NBA. And so there's 30 spots. Plus then you get into, you know, your backups, your Alex Lins and your JaVale McGee's and guys like that. But I would just go back to, you know, Zach Edey as a college player compared to some of those guys as a college player. And it's not close. You know, he's because he is so massive. He can't be moved when he rebounds. I don't know if you were watching Purdue yesterday, you got one shot. And yep. If you missed,
yep.
He's grabbing the rebound and that's all there is to it. And that's a big part of defense, is closing out a possession with a defensive rebound. So yeah, I'm not ready to say he's going to be a superstar or an all-star in the NBA. Although if he is an all-star at some point, I don't know that I'd be surprised.
But by the way, just to add a little cherry on top of what Bob was saying, Jason, I'm looking at a couple of mock drafts here. Zach Edey in this one is slated to go 33rd in the second round to San Antonio. That would be hilarious. and then NBADraft.net, for example, Zach Edey set to go 45 to the Knicks. So, again, kind of like what you said, Bob, it's just, Jason, it is a crapshoot.
Yeah, and I know your board will change over time, but I haven't seen yours lately. What do you know roughly off the top where you have him ranked?
I have him 11th right now, which would be a late lottery pick. And, again, you know, look at the landscape of centers. You know, how badly did scouts screw up Nikola Jokic?
Oh, God.
Now, he's not Nikola Jokic because he doesn't pass and shoot the three ball the way, you know, Nikola Jokic does.
Yeah.
But if you look down through, you know, some of your top NBA centers, you know, Jared Allen is one of the better guys. Jonas Valanciunas. What's the difference between Jonas Valanciunas and Zach Edey? I would say he compares pretty favorably with Jonas Valanciunas, yeah, who's probably a mid-tier starter in the NBA at this point, and certainly has been higher than that in his career. I mean, if you could imagine the Kings, if you could come off the bench after Domas and have a guy like Zach Edey, that would be an upgrade, in my opinion, to what they've got right now. So, you know, it remains to be seen, and beauty's in the eye of the beholder, as Jeff Petrie used to always say, and it'll be team need and all that kind of stuff. But he'd be a nice piece to have from where I'm sitting.
Bob, two rounds have been done. Obviously, things can change because in a one and done, opinions and all that, it's gone, right, if somebody has a bad day. But now that you've seen kind of the 16 that are left, what would be your biggest surprise or maybe change of opinion on a team where you go, man, I thought one way about this team. They're still here, but I think differently, positively or negatively about somebody.
NC State, you know, I mean, that's a pretty easy one, low hanging fruit there because they're an 11 seed. And I'm still not convinced that they're gonna go much further, but I didn't see them being here. So you know, DJ Burns, the big guy, is a nice story. I thought Gonzaga's looked really sharp, probably better than I thought they were gonna be. think a lot of people thought this was a down year for Gonzaga. But they bring in that kid, Braden Huff, off the bench, their young big man. And it looks like he's in line to you know, be another good player for Gonzaga. And I think Anton Watson, you know, all of a sudden he was a guy who couldn't make three-pointers. Now this year he's shooting 40% from three-point range. And you add that to the dimension of passing ability that he has and just kind of the jack-of-all-trades skills that he possesses. And I think he's a guy that NBA scouts need to reconsider now that he's shooting the ball better. You know, he's a pretty complete player. I don't know if you guys saw that the reverse alley-oop dunk that he had early in that Gonzaga game, but that was something. I was like, hey, now, you know. So you still see flashes of different things from different players, and that's what makes all this stuff, you know, really, really fun and entertaining to me. I think UConn's Stephen Castle, the 6'6 freshman point guard, is another guy that he was hurt early in the year. And, you know, UConn was picked to finish third in the Big East. They get this kid, and all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a 6'6 point guard who can defend, is athletic, and he's really added a lot to that team. It's, you know, it's not just Donovan Klingon and Alex Caravan and Tristan Newton, those guys. So, I don't know. I think we're in for a really good Sweet 16. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There were some great games, man. That Oregon game was another one that, man, I really had a good time watching that. And Faladante, I think, has really improved his stock. You know, he's another guy, if he can stay healthy, he's going to look good in the NBA uniform somewhere.
And you kind of just answered this, but let me put it in a nice clean column here. Of the teams still alive, if you're reseeding, for example, who's your number one? Like, who's the team that you're just like, wow, this is who I thought they were, or this is the juggernaut? And then also, what team going in that's still alive, maybe you took some stuff down from? You know, like, I don't know, Houston went to OT last night against A&M. Have you fallen out a little bit on them? Is there a team that stands out that's still in, but you go, maybe that wasn't who I thought they were?
UConn, I think, again, has just looked great. Yep. If I was reseeding, I'd have them as the number one team. I think Duke's looked better than people thought, you know. If you were a casual and you just watched Duke North Carolina this year, you saw North Carolina sweep Duke, and you might have thought, well, this is a down year for Duke. And then the kid with the Sacramento ties, Jaron McCain, who lived in Sacramento till the eighth grade before moving on down south, he was just spectacular yesterday. Yeah. I knew he was skilled, but I guess I didn't know that he could shoot it quite the way he shot it yesterday. So I thought they looked really, really fantastic. Always love watching Marquette and Shaka Smart and the energy that he brings to his team. So I think those are kind of your top teams. And again, you know, San Diego State, I think, has surprised me a little bit. I'm not sure that they're as good as people think they are. And we'll see, you know, because they're going to have to play UConn next. So that might be the end of the road for the old San Diego Staters.
One thing that kind of becomes a popular sports topic in general, Bobby, is length of games, time of games for other sports. Baseball takes too long, or basketball, the end of games, football, whatever it might be. Last night, it was so noticeable. It was wildly entertaining, the Houston and A&M game. But the end of regulation, from about 2:45 to the end of regulation, obviously the buzzer beater forces overtime, I thought took in real time about 45 minutes. It was incredible, from reviews, fouls, substitutions. It just, so much was going on. Now, to me, in the end, I never personally care, but I did see a few people like, how long is this game going to go on? Is that an issue at all for college basketball, do you think?
I think it is. I'm a DVR guy, man. Like, I'll start a half hour or 40 minutes behind, and believe it, you could start 40 to 45 minutes behind, and you will get caught up, you know, in that time frame if you skip every Capital One commercial and you know, and when guys are at the free throw line, I'm usually give it a little quick burst, which drives my wife crazy. But I want to see if he made that free throw. Scoreboard. if you made it or not. Yeah. But yeah, man, some of it takes too long. The reviews, like, the just having a blanket last 2 minutes we can review anything. It's just too much of an opportunity for coaches and players to be like, you know, everything's got to be reviewed, you know. And so I would love to see them adopt the NBA's method and, you know, let's light the lamp or do whatever we need to do a couple times and that's it, and let's keep it moving.
Bob, you know, Cinderella's kind of taken the year off, really, unfortunately. You could argue that two of the bigger Cinderellas played each other, NC State and Oakland. NC State advances. And now I would say, at least by seed, unless I'm forgetting somebody, NC State and Clemson are your two air quote Cinderellas. Here's the air quotes. They're ACC teams. So when a lot of times there's a sub conversation that goes into the NCAA tournament underbelly, which is how were the conferences rated going in? North Carolina's still there. Duke's still there. Obviously, Clemson, NC State. Are the ACC the winners so far? And also, who would you say is the big loser?
Yeah, you know, the Mountain West, I think, was looking like they were going to – everyone was talking about they were going to have six teams in, but really – of those six teams, I think there was only one that was net top 20 on KenPom.com, which is a great reference site. If you're really hardcore on basketball, check out KenPom.com. They have more ratings and rankings than you can imagine. So I would say the Mountain West, I think, definitely took a hit, and the SEC. Probably, you know, with Kentucky losing early, and Auburn being eliminated pretty early, I think that hurts them a little bit. But yeah, the ACC, I mean, they've come through. They've looked better than I thought they were. Again, that was kind of just, I think maybe the perception of the ACC when you see North Carolina sweep Duke and Duke looked a little bit down. I think that has a lot to do with how we all measure the ACC, because everyone just automatically thinks, well, Duke and North Carolina are two great teams and they're going to be there. But like we talked about with Clemson, you know, we all last week, it was New Mexico's going to be the team and they were going to run through Clemson. And then Clemson had, you know, they've got those two big kids, including that one kid, Shefflin, that I told you kind of reminds me of John Brockman. And he was making some plays yesterday. He's all over the floor. You know, he's a former football player, and it shows out there on the court. He's just more physical than just about every other player that's out there on the floor with him. So the ACC definitely looking good. And I think the Big East has some bragging rights right now, too. They look like they're pretty strong.
Jason, just to follow up, KenPom.com. 13 of the top 14 teams, according to KenPom.com, 13 of the top 14 are still alive in the tournament.
Why didn't I look at that?
Auburn is the only one at number four.
Thanks, Auburn.
Here's what's interesting. They have North Carolina. That's one of their 4-1 seeds. North Carolina ranked ninth.
Okay.
San Diego State, for example, number 17. So, woof.
Yeah.
Woof. KenPom.com.
The only one that's missing.
KenPom.com is great. And man, like, he has so he lists every team. He has an index of every team in Division One, and when the tournament starts, he has the highlighted teams that are in the tournament all highlighted. And man, within seconds, like the final score hits, if you click refresh, that highlight is gone. If you lost, so he's got it down to, you know, 16 highlighted teams, and it's very easy to see for a stat geek like me who has a little OCD issue. You know, I mean, it's right. It's definitely a sight to behold.
Wow.
Yep. That is, and honestly, my second favorite website when it comes
after
to
Hoop Obsession, of course.
After HoopObsession.com, right. Which, I mean,
we'll have a little something on Hoop Obsession regarding the Sweet 16, like the 16 players you should be keeping your eye on.
Nice.
Here as we get into the Sweet 16. And I know we're slated to talk again on Friday. I wanted to let you guys know that if all goes correctly, I'll be talking to you from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, where I will be enjoying the Sweet 16 with all my fellow college basketball rowdies at a sports bar.
Nice. Look,
yes.
I hear Vegas is a fine place to watch the NCAA tournaments.
Man, I've been for the Sweet 16. I've never been for the opening weekend, and that's something I want to do at some point is go for the opening weekend. I've been for the Sweet 16 before, and yes, it's crazy. And you know, you get a little wager on somebody or some team, and it'll make you look at players differently too.
Yes,
you know, that's
sure.
That's one thing about, you know, these other NBA scouts. they can't talk about, you know, betting on guys and stuff like that. But man, you got a little money on somebody, it'll make you look at a guy a little bit differently. It'll make you appreciate Josh Hart more than most people do. I remember having some money on him when Villanova made their run. I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
This is my guy, you know, playing both ends, getting steals, rebounds, doing all the dirty work. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it.
And fast forward, Josh Hart to 19-point triple-doubles in the month of March, or 19 rebounds,
yeah,
triple-doubles,
exactly.
Excuse me, in the month
of
March.
He's an interesting player, man.
I agree.
He's, you know, it doesn't show up. There, you know, nope. There's so many guys over the years where the traditional stats just don't show what some of these guys' value is.
I think he's actually, to me, the most fascinating player in the NBA this year. Really, once I went down that rabbit hole on Josh Hart, I'm sitting there going, dear Lord. Bob, we could talk all day, but we probably get in trouble from our sponsors. We appreciate you. HoopObsession.com. That's Hoop, OBSESSION.com. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you later in the week, and hope your brackets stay intact.
You guys have a great day.
All right, take care. That is Bob Gerald. We are late for a break. When we come back, let's preview the Kings and Sixers. We've also got a who's hot, who's not at 8:44. We'll recap and draw up a couple of three in the keys. And Frankie Cardicelli will join us at 9 a.m. Jason, I'm excited because I saved the research for the end. How do the Kings do? What this whole rumor, oh, they can't play when they come home from a road trip. Well, is that a real thing? Or is that a bunch of Travis Shamark? Is that malarkey? Is that Kim Malarkey?
Yes.
Is it? We'll find out. We got the data for you. But next, Kings and Sixers on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
Just found out something about Simone I didn't know.
What's that?
She is now officially in a very specific category of people with me. Not disappointed. It's not a bad category. It's just a category. Hmm. And you'll understand the category I'm about to say when I say it.
I'm not understanding right now.
She is in the minority of people.
Careful.
I know, right? When you show them something on your phone, they have to grab the phone and look at it.
Oh, yeah.
You know those. You know how that works.
I would rather them grab the phone.
God, no.
Those people.
Yeah. The phone grab. She's a phone grabber. Our general manager. Phone grabber.
Really? But like if you're showing someone a video, I don't want to hold it for you the entire time.
I mean, if
but
it's a video, maybe you prop it up or something.
Excuse me, I would like to object.
Okay.
You were showing me an article and I needed to get up real close and read it.
It was a headline.
It was a headline. It wasn't like a footnote.
I wish you weren't a liar.
I don't know why, like, anybody can look at my phone. I don't have anything.
Touch!
See, the problem I have is when you show them a picture, and they're like, oh, okay.
And then they just...
They start swiping, like, okay,
all right,
stop.
That's my mother. My mother will do that, yeah. And I just, there's all kinds of worse nightmares than that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, where they just never grab something. They never mess with somebody's stereo.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, God, whether it's in the car or at the house. We're playing cards on Saturday night. Got one of the games on, and my buddy, who the other couple we play with, he busts out the whole, "Hey, if after the game, we're gonna listen to music, I have a request for the music." And I go, "What?" And he goes, "It's blah 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 playlist on Spotify," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, dude, no problem." That's my outer monologue. My inner monologue is, come on, man. When we're at your house,
have you ever suggested that?
No.
You can add it to the queue.
I don't add nothing to the queue. It's my home field advantage.
Wait, you don't take any requests?
No. Simone, I take all the requests and I play them. What I'm saying is,
put in the suggestion box.
My inner monologue is like, no, dude, because now I have to play your crap.
Yeah, but now do you feel the freedom when you go there, when you're the road team?
I don't.
Can you go,
no.
Hey, you did this in my house.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
He gave you the freedom. He opened the door.
You could have said no.
Yeah, but then I'm that's impolite. That's mean. I can't say no.
So just saying it to thousands of people afterwards.
So it was opera, yeah. And you're like, this is
no,
fine.
No, it was, and to be honest with you, it was a playlist that
I liked.
I have a playlist that shares a lot of the same songs. It's like reimaginings of hit songs. So there's this, a girl that sings like this.
Ugh, gross.
This haunting version of Fortunate Son by CCR. Or, you know, I like it when people reimagine songs.
Oh, so it's all like the horror movie trailer songs.
Yeah, right. Like the Beetlejuice one and all that. Like, you know, it's always when they do it well, I like it. But just don't mess with somebody's music at their house or in the car. Just don't do it, and don't grab somebody's phone and scroll through it.
I can't believe you're putting me in that category.
Not you.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
You know what? You're young. You're learning. It's fine. Now you're not a scroller. You're a grabber. It's fine. A grabber, not as bad as a scroller, but a grabber. That happened.
Did I take the whole thing? Okay, you came
over.
You
literally took the whole thing.
Okay. All right.
Sixers Kings tonight. Kings have lost 10 in a row to the Sixers.
So what? Who cares?
Five of those were without Joel Embiid, who will not play tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, so would the Kings have a better chance if they played?
I don't know. Half and half. But there was a game. It was either Luke Walton's last game or Alvin Gentry's first game,
yeah,
where they played Philly here, and not only was Embiid out, the entire starting five was out.
And they beat us.
Uh-huh. This year they didn't have Embiid, they didn't have Oubre, they were missing, I think, another player or two, and they smoked the Kings. They've had all sorts of trouble with Philly.
Do you think it's a Daryl Morey versus Monty McNair thing where he's like, hey, kid, nice try with your team, air quotes.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Stupid vest.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Philly hasn't been playing that great since Embiid went down. I mean, they're in the play-in situation in the East, but they had a great win yesterday against the Clippers.
They did. They got the win.
Yeah.
And some might say, okay, end of a road trip. You got a win last night.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at the odds tonight, but I would expect the Kings are.
Kings have got to be favored.
I think.
Want to play the game? If you haven't looked?
I've not looked.
So why don't you play then
all
today?
Right. Okay, let's all play. Hey, phone grabber, why don't you grab a microphone here? Let's do a four-way odds guess here. Tonight, Kings, Sixers. And yeah, since I never play, I'll set the mark here. I will say Kings are favored. I feel like the Kings should be favored by 3.5, but because of the trends and Vegas looks at those, I'll say the Kings are favored by 1.5.
I'm going to go Kings 4.5. That might be high. Yeah, I'll leave it.
Four. Kings 5.5.
Wow.
And I will take the 4.5, please.
For okay. The Kings?
5.5 for Verlade, 4.5 for the two of you, 1.5 for me.
Watch Philly's favorite.
Seriously. I never understand these things. The Philadelphia 76ers are your underdogs.
Yeah.
The Kings are favored by 9.5.
No.
Wow.
Hold on a sec, guys.
You have somewhere to go?
I got
to
make a quick phone call.
Wow. 9.5? They just played somebody way worse than Philly and were favored by less. Wow. Okay.
The Kings.
Oh, well, it's going to be like a 10 o'clock start to the 76ers every year.
There's the text. Yeah. Wow. My friend
is all in.
Is putting a stupid amount of money on the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't blame him. Wow. Now, look, nothing's ever guaranteed. Maybe the Kings win. Maybe the Kings have a, you know, look what they did to the Bucks earlier.
Sure.
Maybe there's a nice 30-point win tonight. 9.5? Why'd my voice do that? Because I'm...
You're stunned. I'm stunned.
I am nine...
When I said 4.5, I went, I think I went too high. I wanted to go back down to 3.5.
I thought you were high. I honestly thought 1.5, but I could see 3.5. Yeah. When you said 4.5, I agreed.
I thought that was too high.
Then Chris comes in with a 5.5, and I'm like, oh, he's just having fun.
Yeah.
9.5.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I got to make a call. We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot, who's not? Let's do a three in the key as well and recap our three in the key from the Kings and Magic. I already have a random stat, by the way. The Kings are favored by 9.5.
Random.
Frankie Cardicelli will join us at 9 a.m. where we will answer the question, are the Kings really bad when they come home from a road trip, or is that a myth? We'll talk about that and more next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
What?
Who's?
It's just, the whole thing now is in my head.
Why?
I never noticed. What's hot? Says the voice guy. But we say who's hot.
Yeah.
So should we have the voice guy change it to who's hot, who's not? Or should we just change it to what's hot, what's not on the show? Let's take a shoot. Chris Roulette. Voice guy changes to who's hot from what's not. Or we change from us saying who's hot to what's hot.
What was the origination?
Actually, if you hear that again, I think because it's sponsored, I think it said... What's hot? But then the voice guy says, who's hot? There's two different voices in there.
Wait, what?
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy.
Did maybe they marry what's on tap accidentally?
Maybe.
The old segment?
Maybe.
I like how Chris is really putting a lot of thought into this, though, like legitimately. He's like, what do we change?
Well, what's hot
yeah.
incorporates more.
Yeah, because
like
it doesn't
could
have
be
to be
a
who.
Team, a sport.
That's a good point.
Now you tell me.
I mean, I could be. Yeah, that's a good point. Gives Chris more to choose.
But I think when he's done who's hot, he might go the Houston Astros.
But isn't who's hot, who's not the thing? Isn't that what's like it, like on in the world is what's said? Who's hot, who's not?
Yeah.
That sounds like a song from the 70s.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah. When you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. Hey, who's hot? Who?
What's hot?
What's hot?
The U.S. men's soccer team.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Let me hear if you've heard this before. The United States beat Mexico 2-0 in the CONCACAF Nations League finals.
That's 2-0, by the way.
I know, you call it dos a cero. The U.S. is also unbeaten against Mexico in the past seven matches, outscoring them 12-3.
Ownage.
I had not heard that before. Quite the goal, by the way. It was about 30 yards out.
Probably further.
Two clicks.
Probably further. But you forgot the rest of the story from that game.
And that's
leave that
the rest
out.
Of the story.
Which was?
Can I give a preview of your who's not? And if this is really your who's not, I apologize. But the how about the Mexican fans?
Oh my God!
Who were once again chanting a homophobic slur? And didn't they what? They stopped the game? Like they canceled the rest
twice.
Of it or something?
No, they didn't cancel it.
Oh, I thought they like yeah. So twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now there's this big thing because, like, they won't stop doing it, and then they, like, stop the game down, and there's no real way to penalize them except for, like, boot the team out of the competition a couple times, and then they'll figure it out because they'll just start.
They won't do that.
But they won't do that because apparently, like, Mexico's, like, this huge cash cow for CONCACAF, and, like, they will not do that. So they're just basically, it's just going to happen forever.
Please stop.
Please don't stop, or I'll say stop again. What was that from? Is that a Sylvester? Wait, hold on. That's, oh my God, gonna pull this out of my rear end. Stop or I'll say stop again. Isn't that from the Sylvester Stallone movie? It bombed. It was something about him and his mother.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
Okay, that's not what it's from then. That's the title. Crap. All right, who's not? Other than
well
me
done.
Pulling things out.
Hello. Wow.
We can see from your history there, Dave, that you aren't good at that. The Toronto Raptors are not.
They're not hot. Why is that?
The Kings beat them on Wednesday. Then you could add two more losses to the tally with a loss to Oklahoma City and the Thunder. They have lost 10 in a row. They also lost to the second worst team in the league, Washington Wizards. Imagine losing to them.
Whoever does that.
Who does that? Wizards. I haven't seen a wizard lose like that since Voldemort. Lost to Harry Potter in the last movie when the wands...
I know you like Harry Potter.
By the way, in the world of my stupid brain, stop or I'll say stop again is a line from Robin Williams' Live at the Met where he says, in England, if you commit a crime, the police will say stop or I'll say stop again.
So close to Sylvester Stallone.
And then I mangled it with the title of the... Yeah. All right.
So you thought the name of the title of the movie was Stop or I'll Say Stop Again
with Sylvester Stallone.
So close.
And wasn't was the mom in it, the mom from Throw Mama from the Train? Probably not. It was either that or Estelle Getty.
It was Estelle Getty.
It was Estelle Getty.
Yeah. The mom from Throw Mama from the Train, I don't know who that was. You're so close.
She was iconic.
Yes.
Also from Goonies. She was the mom from Goonies. One more thing for you based on the Lakers free throw disparity we've been talking about.
Sure.
So we told you that the difference between the Lakers shooting free throws, including last year and the playoffs and this season, as opposed to their opponent, is plus 1,017. If you added places 2, 3, and 4 together, they're not 1,017. Excuse me, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Here's something interesting from HP Basketball Online. Well, it's because they're driving to the hole all the game, right? And the paint and all that. Yeah, the Lakers are 27th in drives per game this season. They are 22nd in paint touches in the NBA this season. But hey, they're down on the floor all the time in the paint. And it's not a conspiracy, says Laker fan 6903. Three in the key. King. Stop, or I'll say stop again. Jason Ross.
So close.
It's just right there.
All right. So from Saturday's game, we asked for the two guys that were drafted, four picks apart, number one and number four, three picks apart, I guess, Paolo and Keegan Murray points. Davey said 33 for Paolo, 11 for Keegan. I said 29 for Paolo, 16 for Keegan. Chris said 24 and 19. The correct answer was 22. 22. Yeah, Chris is closest. Chris for the win.
Lied with the win. 1 point.
This one, we asked which King's college would still be alive when we're back on Monday.
Oh, I'm sure I nailed this one.
Dave, you said DeMontis, Sabonis, and Gonzaga. Correct.
Didn't want to go with the obvious.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Neither did I. And I said Davion Mitchell, Baylor. And Chris is right. He said he would nail it. He said... Mr. Ford, off the bench, Jordan Ford, St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's. Come on, Gales.
What a dumb, dumb, stupid call.
Just I agree.
Terrible.
So let's get to our random stat. Dave, you said it would be the return of Sasha, and he would get at least 1 3-pointer. That did not happen. No return and no 3-pointer.
Come on, Sash.
I said
Wait,
we
what's
would...
What's his other name?
Oh, yeah, Sahas.
Sahas Castillo.
S-A-H-A-S.
Yeah, Sahas Vazenkov. Mr. Vazenkov. I said there would be another overtime game with the Kings in Orlando.
You were very close to nailing that.
Way off.
Title. Yeah, you were.
And Chris said there would be a combined swing of 33 points from the largest lead in one team. The largest lead was 9 and then 8. 17.
Oh, 17.
No double-digit lead.
Almost double or half.
Doesn't even feel like a Kings game.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
What in the HE double hockey sticks is going on in Florida?
Yes. Stop or I'll say stop again.
Stop or I'll say stop again. Re-rack John Tesh.
Yes.
Let's go tonight. Tonight. Kings. Sixers. This time, it's for real. Jason Ross.
To try to break a 10-game losing streak against Philly, Malik stunk the other night, right?
Yes. Malik stunk.
No points. Nothing.
Nothing.
So we got to get, and he had a great tweet after the game. I loved Malik. That's awesome. Well,
he ripped himself.
He was like, I couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, but let's light this.
Still lighting the blankety beam.
Yeah. So tonight we've got three parts of Malik in this first category. Malik's threes, points, and assists. We want his stat line there. So threes, Dave, points, and assists for Malik.
Well, the problem is that Philly's one of the – it's Orlando, Philly, and San Antonio are the three major rumored ones. To grab him, so is he going to tank on purpose like he did against the Magic? I don't think he could let himself do that. So you said threes, give me four.
Okay. Points.
Points give me 21.
Assists?
Assists give me 6.
Okay. I have 4, 27, and 7.
Ooh.
Chris?
I'll take 3.
No.
21.
No.
And 4.
Wrong.
All right. In his return, yet again, Shavano, Buddy Hield. 3 pointers and points for Buddy Hield.
Gross.
Give me 4 and 17.
I have 5 and 19. Chris?
I'm going to say 2 and 9.
Boo.
Getting boo. Dave, random stat.
I will get, this is honestly a random stat because I've been talking about it all day.
Random.
The Sacramento Kings will win tonight. Because I honestly do not think that's going to happen.
Favored by 9.5, some say.
I hope they prove me wrong. I really, truly, honest to God. Well,
wait,
why wouldn't
what?
I? Wait.
They want to prove you wrong.
No,
said they will win.
I'm saying that's my random stat. I don't think they'll win. Oh. And then I said I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they win tonight, to be very clear.
But that's what you're going with. Kings will win.
Kings will win tonight. That's going to be my random stat.
Mine is Fox double digits in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, I hope you're right.
Fourth quarter Fox. Chris?
Sahas Castillo will play in the game and score a 3-pointer.
I hope you're right. Let's go, Kings. Yay. Shoot the ball the right way.
Let's go.
When we come back, speaking of Kings and speaking of tonight and speaking of returning from home.
Good speed.
Frankie Carter-Shirley. He will join us, Sacramento Sports, Sacktown, whatever. He writes things. He will join us, and we will answer the question, or try to at least.
Who's hot?
Who's not? What's hot? What's not?
Okay.
And are the Kings not hot when they return home from a road trip? That seems to be the myth.
I'm confused.
Is it a myth? Is it a legend? Or is there something to it? We've got the numbers for you next.